Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the Score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal Score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Here it comes. Drive to left. Grand slam time.
Len Casper.
That's Len.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, baby.
TV voice of the Cubs.
Hey, one other question about Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Does he still qualify for the Wookiee of the Year?
Slightly above average bassist.
Maybe Casper playing against us really into it.
Len Casper.
That's Len.
With Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Nebraska and Maryland this fall at Ryan Field. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Let's talk to the voice of the Cubs, Len Casper, who joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Follow Len Casper on Twitter, at Len Casper, he of the Marquee Sports Network. How you hanging in, Len?
I'm hanging, guys. I was doing the math, because you know I wake up every day now wondering what day of the week it is, and that typically happens to me like in August when you're playing 35 games in 36 days. But opening day was supposed to be Thursday, and it feels like so long ago that they canceled the rest of spring training, and we're now in this kind of country quarantine here. But I miss baseball a lot, I have to be honest. I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos of old games, and currently reading a book about the hapless Texas Rangers in the early 1970s, and just I really, really miss it, and I hope we have a season. You know, I don't think anybody quite knows how this is going to end and when it will end and how it will present itself for the sports leagues to resume action.
Well, I was going to ask you, Len, is it scratching the itch? I know that without baseball, people like you, like me, who really kind of jones on the sport, are really lacking a piece of their soul at some point here. I've watched some old games. I've read a couple of books. I've played on MLB The Show as much as I can, but it's not quite getting there, and I wonder if I'm missing something, and if you have advice for people who are trying to scratch that itch a little bit harder.
I wish I did. You know, obviously Marquee's running the postseason. I know the Score's got classic Cub games coming up, and Bears and other sports as well. And those things are great. But, yeah, it's not the same as live action. And I, you know, I'm torn because I get why we're doing what we're doing, and it's the right thing. But I'm also allowed to miss what I do for a living, and, and this is the sport I love, right? So I think it's a little bit of both, and I've used the term mental lethargy that I'm trying to overcome, and I think there are probably a lot of people out there who have dealt with a little bit of that. So you're just, you know, trying to get outside and go for a run and keep my social distance from people. And where I live, I will say that I think people have really heeded that advice. Even yesterday, a real nice day being outside, I think people are remaining cautious. So I'm still trying to, you know, give money to the local economy and, you know, do carry out and all of that stuff, and be at home with my family and just kind of wait and see what happens.
We talk a lot, Len, about athletes staying in shape. I mean, how do a player without an inability to go to an actual facility somewhere, how do they hit? How are they going to be ready to hit a 98-mile-an-hour slider? How is a pitcher going to be able to throw it? What about a broadcaster? We've seen videos now at Josh Lewin, Doc Emrick, Joe Buck, of keeping your play-by-play skills sharp by just describing something mundane. Are you doing any similar exercises?
Not really, and I think it's great what those guys are doing. I think it's awesome, and I think that is more for the people they're doing it for entertainment purposes, and probably because these guys are bored as well. I think those are all great reasons, but I'm pretty convinced that whenever the next NHL game occurs, Doc Emrick's going to be just fine without having to practice. You know, we have 4 or 5 months off every off season, and then you get right back at it in spring training, and I feel pretty comfortable about 2 or 3 innings into the first game, and that's kind of the odd thing, Dan, about this. It's not as if the season didn't start. I did like 20 games in a row with spring training, and so guys were in shape, and I think most of baseball was basically 2 or 3 days away from if they had to play a regular season game, they absolutely could have, but now that they hit the stop button, I do think we're probably at a point where spring training is going to have to be 3 to 4 weeks to get the pitchers back in game shape. And again, this is a premature conversation. I think we're a long ways away from this. But I think the other question is, you know, do you train in Arizona in July or do you train in Chicago? I'm guessing we might get to a certain point where teams might just train in their home cities. And then the next games they play against other teams are not spring training, but are real games. Because if we have a schedule that is less than 162, which is almost certain at this point, and might be closer to 120 or 100 or 80, whatever it is, I think the next games they play probably have to count.
Len, I think you're right that every question about what the season might look like is premature at this point, but it won't stop me from asking one. I wonder, from your perspective, at what point, with how many games, would you scrap a quote-unquote season of baseball and go to something weird, whether that's round-robin kind of stuff, an unconventional schedule, or maybe even just, you know, a whole league playoff schedule, something completely out of the box? Is there a certain number of games that's able to be played that you kind of go, all right, now we need something completely different?
I don't know the answer to that, Connor. I guess the comp would be the NHL lockout, right? I think once it got to the point where it was way less than half, they decided the season we can't play, and they pretty much canceled that entire season. So I think if we're doing the hypothetical, it's got to be, to me, probably half a year, right? It's 80 to 85 games. Once it's below that, then I think you might consider a tournament of some kind or doing something completely different. And also, guys, I think you're doing, at some point, the financial math, right? Because if you're trying to recoup some TV money, and if ballparks are able to be open and you have ticket sales, you still have to pay the players. And it could come down to some financial questions. Some franchises may decide or say, look, we might be better off not playing this season at all if it's going to be this short and we're going to have, you know, major expenses. So, you know, again, these are conversations way down the road, and I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope we have a semblance of a regular, normal baseball season. But, you know, who I feel for are the 38-year-old pitchers and the guys toward the end of their careers and some of my broadcasting brethren who are near the end of their careers. If an entire season gets washed out, that's 1 year less that they get a chance to work. And I think of all the people I work with on a daily basis. So there's so many people this touches well beyond the players and the owners and the fans that, I hate to think about those things, and I just hope we're able to get back to normal life here sooner than later, but it doesn't feel that that's going to be the case.
Not to mention the service time question about what's going to be fair for a year worked. And we talk, I mean, so many of these business decisions by teams are made around the margins of weeks or games or Super 2 designations and some of this stuff, where how do you figure out how long someone's contract is or is going to be? And the trade value based on how long you're and how many games you're going to have somebody play for you. Everything is up in the air here, and it's just a question of how this can all be administrated retroactively and fairly to all parties. And I mean, you can take the smartest people in the world and get them in a room, and I don't know how they're going to agree on this stuff.
You know, it's weird. I've got a little OCD, and I thought of this very bizarre thing yesterday, and that was, you know, if you don't have a 2020 season and you go into next year, I thought, what do I tell people? Is this my 16th year with the Cubs or 17th? Like, does spring training, those few games I called, count? And it, but you know what I mean. And I think that those are really legit questions. Do you just say that a player gets full credit regardless of how many games are played this year or not? And I think those are conversations that you can't have until we know a lot more about what's going to happen. And right now it's all about everything else, which is keeping people safe and healthy and trying to flatten this curve. But, once business does resume, look, I've talked to some friends in some other sports. You know, we might have a Stanley Cup in September. And then you have the next NHL season moved back, or, you know, is it possible the NBA playoffs could happen this fall and they start the next season in January and now we have staggered winter sports? I think it's at least on the table. I'm not saying this is the case and you guys would be better able to answer this than I can, but could this fundamentally change the calendar of sports? Could hockey become an October 1st start and the NBA become a January 1st start? And, you know, baseball schedule and the football schedule permanently change as a result of what happens this year? I think all those things are on the table.
I think you're right. It's something that popped into my brain the other day, Len, and I don't want to, you know, obviously this medium is so much about, or as much about, distraction from everything going on in our world as it is tied to it, but you know, when you start thinking about the possibility of a virus like this coming back at some point later on in the year and not knowing and having so many unknowns around that, you start thinking about, you know, diversifying a portfolio. The idea that both the NBA and the NHL are on at the same time,
yep,
you've got this whole, you know, level of portfolio of sports. And if you're able to spread things out just a little bit, I don't know who the you is in this analogy, because it's not run by just one person, you know, but there's still an entertainment overall that can be spread out some and perhaps, I don't know, protected against something like that. I think it's a good point.
And I think the other question is about what a lot of leagues and the NCAA tournament had planned on doing before the shutdown. And that is, when pro sports return, will it be without fans? Will it be limited fans? I'm talking at the venues. Or do we wait until we're able to essentially resume life as we did before? And I don't know if anybody has the answer to that either.
I also think there's going to be the fundamental question in the future of how many regular season games are the right number in any sport. Look, football just had to fight tooth and nail to get to its 17th game, where certain sports know every time they open the doors, there's X amount of revenue, where you've got baseball teams that might be perfectly happy to not be spending what they spend to open their building as much as they do. Look in the minor leagues. I mean, affiliated minor league baseball, of how many AAA games have just a handful of people there, and where the cost and benefits are of some of this, where you may get owners versus owners, where some are making money and some are losing money when they have games. To me, the fundamental shift might be coming to that sweet spot of just where their revenue generation is, especially the places that don't have big TV dollars.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think April and May games in particular for most baseball teams, those are the games that they don't make nearly as much as they do once June 1st hits. And you look at the ticket prices, you look at the demand. I can just speak from experience on a personal level. When people ask me for tickets, I usually say, if you want a couple of seats, call me in April. I can get them, no problem. But generally, they wait until the Cardinals-Cubs or White Sox-Cubs on June 16th or July 1st. That's just the nature of the business. Once school is out, people flock to the ballpark. So, yeah, I think this is going to be – we're living through history. We definitely knew that last week, and I think we're experiencing that at its fullest now. And as scary as this is, trying to take a half a step back and trying to figure out what this will mean for the future of life in this country and big gatherings and all those things, it's I don't think anything can be left off the table at this point in terms of how we resume once we do.
Hey, Len, if for no other reason than old time's sake, I actually dreamed up a legit, honest-to-goodness baseball question. Like, hey, Len, you watch the Cubs every day. What do you think this means for the Chicago Cubs? Here it is. When we start baseball again, we will almost assuredly have expanded rosters to deal with all of the things that come with a shortened season. We've seen that before in baseball. The way the Cubs built a bullpen heading into what was spring training not all that long ago, I figure expanded rosters, more pitchers available to David Ross, only helps them in whatever we end up playing in 2020. You think that's true?
Yeah, I do. I do think that's true because as I watched spring training, there were some really intriguing arms and maybe a handful who would end up at AAA instead of the big leagues who probably had value at this level right off the bat. The only caveat there, Connor, is I think every other manager looks at it the same way. I saw a lot of really good arms, and I'm sure you guys did in your limited time during the Scorehouse trip. So I think it would benefit just about everybody, and we know how Craig Counsell is with his bullpen in Milwaukee, so I can't imagine it would hurt a team like that once the season starts. But hey, it's good to talk baseball for sure, and I'll make one quick prediction if and when we do play. Without any inside information, I've got you, Darvish, as the opening day starter.
Yeah, Len, you mentioned you're reading a book about the, I think you called them the hapless early 70s Texas Rangers. You mentioned you're going for a run. Anything else? Are you plugging the bass into an amp and jamming in the basement? Anything else that you're doing? Yeah, slapping the bass.
Yeah, trying to write some songs. That's a pretty solitary thing to do. Catch up on all the Netflix and stuff, and as you know, I read a lot. So yeah, I actually live a pretty solitary existence, even when I don't have to. So in some ways, I'm well suited for this. But I do like to go to the coffee shop every day and do my homework, and haven't been able to do that for obvious reasons. But still trying to contribute and make those purchases, even though I end up doing my studying at home.
Interesting how you mentioned writing songs, because one thing that we know about in our history, times of economic downturn and or strife often result in great art and creative people with strong feelings, whether it's important movements in music, in painting. Forever, strife has long resulted in great art. So I think, well, this is one of those where you mark a point in the graph and then you wait and see what comes out of it.
Yep, no question about it. And look, there's a lot of bad stuff and scary stuff to talk about, and I don't deny that stuff exists, but I do think that some really good things can come out of this, and let's keep everybody healthy, and when we come out on the other side, Maybe we look back and go, that was wild, and we move on. And, you know, the fact that we're coming together by staying apart is ironic, I suppose. But as I said, I feel like people are doing it, at least in my neck of the woods, and hopefully everywhere else too.
Len, thanks as always, man. Good health.
All right, same to you guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.